we get into some deeper waters, going a little further. Seeking to awaken, not understand, but awaken. Finding the meaning in this life, in this world, is not what we think, because it has nothing to do with a thought, has nothing to do with a belief. There's nothing that the mind can grab and hold on to and think, oh, I have it. Like finding an answer. There is none of that. It is about awakening. Awakening another mind in us, another presence within us. This life offers us a series of events that are very important. We, if we live by these events or acknowledge them through something called morality, the idea of right and wrong, good and bad, we will miss. If you think this is about what is fair, what is right, you will miss. Everything is abstract. Nothing is the way I believe it to be. So if I am living my life consciously, if I am living my life in a way that produces awareness, then I build another faculty within me. You have to be able to see what, the what of you that becomes something other than a you. Remember, you are pure awareness. You are not a you or an I or a me. You are simply awareness. And when we are no longer fighting with the what of us, what am I? What can I get? What am I missing? What I want? When we no longer are struggling with these things in the context of our thoughts, we begin to build within us an awareness. And this awareness can take us into many different places. This awareness becomes the throb of a lifetime, the meaning, the very existence of a lifetime. Let me give you a story. There was once a great Buddhist saint, Narjuna, who moved around naked except in a loincloth. He had a golden begging bowl that was gifted to him by the king, who was his disciple. One night he was about to lie down to sleep among the ruins of an ancient monastery when he noticed a thief lurking behind one of the columns. He called out, "Take this," holding out the begging bowl. "That way you won't disturb me once I have fallen asleep." The thief eagerly grabbed the bowl and made off, only to return the next morning with the bowl and a request. He said, "You gave this bowl away so freely last night. You made me feel very poor. Please teach me how to acquire the riches that make this kind of light-hearted detachment possible." Yes. The average person with the pedestrian mentality will look at this as though, oh, man wanted to steal the bowl. Man had bowl, man wanted to steal the bowl, man gave bowl away. The person who took the bowl comes back, is confused, because the what of the situation does not jive with his morality, his belief system, his what. But there is more to the story than all of that. You see, the lighthearted detachment is what it's all about. Narjuna knew about death, and birth, and that the things that exist here on this earth are about death and birth and birth and death, and on that cycle goes. So he was not concerned at all with recovering his bowl. He knew it was time to let the bowl go. He was not upset by the bowl being gone from his possession, something this rare, something this important. He didn't care. It was not important to him. Everything in this earth is born and then dies. But that does not mean that the what, the depth, the consciousness of that thing is gone. We are not here to live as long as we can. We are here to gather the elements that build consciousness. When Arjuna gave away the bowl, he was building consciousness. His lighthearted detachment was because he could see through the veil of right and wrong, good and bad, owning and not owning. He could see through the whole experience. Things come in this world, things go in this world. We want to cling to the coming and the going, the getting and the losing. But Arjuna was not a part of that. I cannot emphasize this enough in this discourse to help you understand how deeply important this was to his life, to your life, to my life. It wasn't that Arjuna was generous, unconscionable. It was that he knew the secret. Birth, death are illusions. If you can't walk away from the thing that is most important to you, if you can't leave it and let it go when the opportunity comes to give it up, then you will suffer grievously. You don't want to suffer. Not for that. There are certain forms of suffering that are useful and help us a great deal in the course of our lifetime. And then there are certain forms that are just useless to fight over and useless to be pained over because they don't produce anything that is important. Letting go of something that people would say had sentimental value was like this bowl, sentimental. It had value as gold. But Arjuna saw the meaning of it. You know what I'm getting at here. And I know that your mind says to you, no, I can't do that. Well, whether we like it or not, our death makes us do that very thing, give it all up. And of course, we have that attitude. Well, I won't know when I'm dead. It won't matter. Oh, it will matter because the way we used our riches in this world, the way we used our life in this world, all matters. It sets up our next life and our next life and our next life. It matters, all right. You may pawn it off based on maybe your own philosophy, but that doesn't make it true in this world. We miss everything that is eagerly important for us to understand, that would bring forth love and compassion, insight, and a sense of being immortal for the sake of things that just don't matter. The matter of this world is not the matter of your life. And as long as you live seeking matter in your life, stuff, you will miss. Let me give you another way to look at this. The master at the school of archery was known to be the master of life just as much as archery. One day, his brightest pupil scored 3 bullseyes in a row at a local contest. Everyone was in such awe, wild with applause. Congratulations poured in for the pupil and the master. The master, however, seemed unimpressed, almost critical. When the pupil later asked him why, he said, "You have not yet to learn that the target is not the target." Few people can understand that getting what we want in this life, having the things that comfort our body and make us feel important or make us feel valuable, is not the point of this life. The point of this life is not the luxury. The point of this life is to see the condition of the life itself. What is the condition? What are the conditions that govern life here on this planet? And one of them, whether we like it or not, know it or not, agree with it or not, has to do with let go. How much can we let go? How much can we let go of our fear, our anger? How much can we let go of our stuff, the what of us? When I am willing to let go of the what, then the begging bowl can go. When I understand the what, when I am aware of what, then I realize skill does not matter. It isn't getting what we want or being skilled at what we want that makes this life beautiful. It is the development of awareness. It is coming into the sake of awareness and replacing my idea of a Gregory, my idea of a my, a me, an I, with something called awareness. This is very important. We allow flesh and blood and bone to distract us. You live in a world, as do I, of great duality. You have the flesh, the blood, and the bone, and then you have the spirit. To most people, 99 and 9/10 of the people here on the planet, it is only about the flesh, blood, and bone. This is why we're overpopulated. There are just so many of us here because we keep making these people. We call them into this world. And they think they're very clever and very witty. They think they're very smart. And they do many things that take away from the meaning of our own existence here on Earth. But in the end, in the very end of our life, we look back at it and we see, I don't get it. I ate, I slept, I pooped, I peed, I bought, I sold, I made babies. What was it all for? No one can answer that question. You can come up with a theory, a hypothesis, a belief. But that doesn't mean that's true. Until I become willing to let go of a Gregory, willing to let go of an I and a me, I will not be the awareness that allows me to see the bigger picture of all of this and live without a sense of fear. It is fear that is the crux of the matter. The target in this life is to live fearlessly, to live without needing fear as a way of life, as a way to define my life. This is all about consciousness. Whether you know it or not, in your deepest being, you are searching for the meaning of your life. In everything you and I do, two things are present. The first is fear, and the second is the meaning of life. Why are we doing all of this? You come into a fleshly body. You have to ask yourself, what am I doing in this thing? What is the meaning of this? What is my carcass really all about? It offers many lessons. When we are in pain, you can separate and see that the body is in pain, but that you can observe the pain, but you do not have to be the pain. In times of great joy, maybe times where something occurred that was monumental to you at the time, you can see, if you separate ever so slightly, the event is separate from yourself. The event is separate from yourself as awareness. You can be aware of the situation, but not even a part of it. This is very valuable. This is extremely valuable and will cause you to awaken ever so slightly. Next time an event occurs, whether it is pleasant or not, it doesn't matter. Awaken to it. Separate a little bit. When the event happens, see how your body reacts, your mind reacts to your emotions. Watch. Oh, we made it. We made it. We got the thing. We got the whatever. And nothing. Nothing has changed. Your awareness has not changed. You are just missing. You are missing that which is so deeply important to your heart and soul. How long does it take you to become aware? How long does it take you to recognize? How long? There was a big event that was happening in one of my students' lives. I was helping my student get through it and prepare for it. I said, now, tell me what happens when the event occurs the next day. So the student said, oh, yes, I will tell you. It was a test. The student goes and does the test, and I don't hear from days. Days I don't hear. Finally, I ask, what happened? Oh, yeah, Greg. Yeah, it went real well. I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you. Now, if the thing had not gone well in his test, I would have heard the very next day. But because things go well, the mind thinks, ah, eat, drink, and be merry. Have a great time. It doesn't matter. Everything is just perfect. Really. So when things are wrong, the practice is used to make it right. When things go right, the practice is no longer necessary. It's superfluous to the need. It is in this way that we undermine our entire life. Your practice is about everything. Everything is significant. Everything is meaningful. Everything. If you live in gratitude, if you live in mercy, much will happen. If you do not, nothing can happen. Nothing of the other shore. The last thought that people have is about the state of their spirituality, the state of how they are living spiritually. It's the last thing they care about. It's the last thing on the agenda. And hence the karma builds and builds and builds. I am here to just point my finger at what's meaningful. I hope you will not bite my finger. Please forgive me. Namaste.